Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 106 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. We're going to talk a lot of girls swimming tonight as we're about 3 weeks into the season. We will also have a special guest at the end of the podcast who is a big fan of all the Ankeny sports, but he has a lot of affection for the girls swim program in particular. So I'm looking forward to that conversation as well. Right now, though, I want to bring in my first guest. She is the longtime head coach of the Ankeny girls swimming team. Last year, she led the Hawkettes to a third place finish in the state meet, their highest ever during her tenure. This year, she has guided Ankeny to a 3-0 dual record and a number 5 ranking in the state. Last night, her team posted a 134-47 victory over Fort Dodge on the Hawkettes senior night. She is Michelle Stout. Michelle, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Just great, Dan. Thanks.
You bet. Well, congratulations on the convincing win last night. Were you pretty happy with your team's performance?
Yes, yes. We put some things in place to challenge the girls to try new events or to mix up the relays a bit, to put girls in different positions. And I think we were able to get some good information.
Well, yeah, I know you like to move your girls around to some different spots in these early season meets to try to find your best lineup. So did you do quite a bit of that last night?
A lot of it. And, you know, one of our strategies was to try to create at least two relays that would be comparable. So put girls in positions where they would, have to truly, you know, get up and go in against a teammate.
Well, and you have a lot of versatile swimmers, too, so that probably makes it easier to move the girls around, right?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Sometimes it's hard to look at the, and we have to look at the whole package. You know, we don't want girls to do back-to-back events. So there's a bit of strategy in trying to figure out the tolerances as well. So some of our girls, you know, really excel swimming back-to-back relays. For example, coming out of an individual event and jumping right into a relay, some girls excel at that. Some girls, not so much. It doesn't work very well. And so that's all part of the process as well, is figuring out, you know, how to space out their events, how relays all figure out, you know, figure into this and put them in their best position in the meet.
Well, I mentioned that it was a senior night last night. I wasn't there. I went to the cross country meet. But is that always an emotional night for you?
Always. Always. You know, and I think that, you know, we front loaded it this year at the beginning of our season just to make sure those girls had their night, you know, in case something unexpected would happen and or unfavorable would happen.
Sure.
You know, with this pandemic. And, you know, I think it was okay. I think it was okay to do that. And I'm so happy that those girls got a chance to have their senior night.
Well, your team's closest meet came on September 1st at Johnston, where you posted a 102-84 victory over the number 6 Dragons. Yeah, that was certainly an impressive win. What did that win tell you about your squad?
Well, I think it really revealed our depth. So although that, if you look at it, Johnston actually won more of the events than we did. But we were able to actually outscore them in most every event, even without outright winning that event. So we have a lot of depth within each event.
Well, coming into the season, you knew your team had to replace a few standouts, most notably Jasmine Rumley, the state swimmer of the year last season. She was a 5-time state champion for the Hawkettes. Scout Bergwall also graduated along with Sydney Jorgensen, who was the state diving champion. Now, you just don't replace, you know, 3 kids like that, but you've been able to find some other girls to step up and kind of fill those shoes, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. And really, it's come from our, you know, previous state qualifiers just jumping up a level from what I've seen so far at practice and from their meet times. I mean, some of our girls are already very close to their end of season times. Last year, some of our top varsity girls. And some other girls, you know, took that time to also, you know, knowing that they were all going to have a part to play. And so we're seeing that really across the team this year, which has been outstanding.
Well, in the diving event, Erica Peters has certainly stepped up for you. She's a 2-time state place winner in diving, having placed 14th in each of the last 2 years. And she's certainly looking like a contender for a state title this year. She opened the season by winning the Johnston Invitational, and she's currently ranked 2nd in the state in the 11 dive event, and she's 6th in the 6 dive event. You know, you have to be really happy with where she's at right now.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, and she continues to grow. Last night, she, what they call, threw a new dive and one that she hadn't attempted before. And so she is, you know, continuing to grow as well.
Well, I know Erica is also a 2-time state qualifier in the breaststroke, but you told me earlier that she's kind of focusing more on the diving this year, right?
She is. She is. And, you know, she is swimming in some dual meets for us. She hasn't really lost her love of swimming very much. So we've been able to use her in relays and has really kind of surprised us for, you know, doing significantly less swimming and how much speed she's been able to retain.
Well, I wanted to mention a few of the other girls here. Maddie Carlton is ranked 9th in the state in the 500 freestyle. And last year she placed 6th in that event at the state meet, as well as 9th in the 200 freestyle. You know, do you feel like she's on pace to produce, you know, the same kind of times that she did at the end of last season?
Undoubtedly.
And then you have a freshman, Anya Peck, who's currently ranked 7th in the state in the breaststroke. She's also running cross country this fall. And last night she actually ran in a meet at Valley, where I was at, before coming back to the swim meet where she won the breaststroke. So she's keeping herself very busy. You know, did you know going into the year how good she was going to be?
You know, I knew what kind of times she'd had from some previous club swims. And so, yeah, I think I was, you know, hopeful and not surprised at what I'm seeing.
Is that hard to juggle her schedule with the two sports in the same season?
You know, really the whole key is communication. And so between coaches and between the athletes to just, you know what their plate is going to look like for the week.
All right. Well, your team is currently ranked 6th in the 200 medley relay, 7th in the 200 free relay, and 9th in the 400 free relay. Now, even though you don't have a swimmer, you know, like Jasmine, the hammer on the end of any of those relays anymore, you know, do you feel like you guys could challenge for a state title in any of those events?
You know, it's really kind of early in the season, and I don't feel like we've necessarily put together our best relays either. So, of course, that's always, you know, on your radar somewhere. But I think that as we move through the season, that we'll have a better idea of where we're going to land.
All right. Well, I mentioned that your team is 5th in the state power rankings. Defending state champion Dowling Catholic is the new number one team, and they're followed by Waukee, Ames, and Iowa City West. But those last two schools are currently not competing because their schools have gone to all online classes. You know, that's kind of an unfortunate situation for those two schools, isn't it?
You know, yes. On one hand, you understand the reasoning. But on the other hand, it's just horrible for those kids that's, you know, a big part of their high school experience that they're not able to pursue.
Well, I want to ask about Ames. You know, they've had a rough few months. Of course, they're still reeling from the death of longtime coach Dan Flannery less than 2 months ago due to a brain aneurysm. You know, that was just a tragic loss for those guys. They had won 8 titles in a 9-year span before placing 2nd a year ago at the state meet. Now, you obviously knew Coach Flannery well. You've coached against him for a long time. What are you going to remember most about him?
You know, I guess just, really – despite all of his credentials and all his pedigree and all his success, he still was just a humble guy. And, always, that's probably the best word, is just humble. You never heard him, you know, really overstate or talk about his past successes. And really just treated each opponent with a lot of respect.
All right. Now, your team was supposed to compete in the Iowa City High Invitational on Saturday, but, of course, that meet has now been canceled, and that's always been a high-quality meet for you guys, you know, to compete in. So I'm sure it's disappointing to lose that competition, isn't it?
Absolutely. Not only for the swimmers. You know, those Eastern Iowa teams always are very strong. And so it's our really only opportunity to see those and compete against those teams for that Invitational. And, you know, as well as for the divers, not only to see that competition, but the 11 dive events, that's an 11 dive event, they're few, dual meets are 6 dives. And so these invitationals gives them a chance to see their whole state rotation, to run through what could possibly be their state rotation. So really, it's as unfortunate for both parts of our team.
Well, obviously, every team is having to deal with COVID-19 to some extent. You know, have your girls been able to adapt all of the various safety guidelines you've had to put in place?
You know, they have, and I think we all understand. I'll tell you right now that this is a good, bad kind of a problem. The girls are very comfortable with each other. And so, you know, that's probably our biggest problem. Hey, spread apart, because they're so comfortable. They care about each other. It's just that you see that come through, and they're just not used to that, having to step away from someone that they're just so comfortable with and care so much about.
Well, yeah, you guys kind of become like a family, don't you?
Well, that's how I refer to it, yeah.
Well, hopefully your team will get a chance to see Waukee in a dual meet on October 13th at Waukee. You know, do you think that meet will give you, you know, some information that will be helpful later at the state meet? Because obviously Waukee's one of the teams that you would be competing against there.
I think it's probably going to be a chance to try out what could possibly be our regional and state team.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you thought, you know, your team coming into the season could be a state championship contender, but, you know, when you look at the rankings now, and of course, if Ames and Iowa City West aren't able to resume competing, you know, at some point, do you feel like your team can be right there in the mix?
I think anybody could. I mean, we kind of half joked about, hey, maybe the state champion will be Algona this year, uh-huh. because, you know, as we move through this season, you just don't know what to expect. It could be Ankeny. It could be. And so I think that we need to move forward with that mentality, as it could be us, to do our best to get to that, put ourselves in that position, that if that opportunity is there, let's make it be us.
All right, Michelle, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Good luck the rest of the season.
All right, thank you, Dan.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a sophomore on the Ankeny squad and one of several returning state qualifiers from last year's team. As a freshman, she placed 29th in the 200 freestyle and 23rd in the 100 backstroke. She also helped the Hawkettes to a 7th place finish in the 400 freestyle relay. She is Rachel Rolo. Rachel, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, how do you think the season's going thus far?
I think it's going pretty well. We're all racing really hard and doing our best, because we never know if, with COVID, if this meet's going to be our last, or if we're going to be able to keep going. So.
Sure. Well, last night you won the 200 IM and you placed second in the 100 backstroke. You also swam on the winning 200 freestyle relay. Were you happy with your swims last night?
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm.
Well, you lost a close race to teammate Alexis Henning in the backstroke. Now, that's one of the unique things about swimming, because you often find yourself competing against your teammates as well as the opponent. You know, do you enjoy that friendly competition with your teammates?
Yes, because we're always able to push each other and help each other go faster to get better times.
Well, what did you think of your team's overall performance last night?
I thought it was really well. We all did really good, and we all raced each other, and we all cheered each other on to get a better team score, and yeah.
All right. Well, you're currently ranked 16th in the state in the 200 IM with a time of 2:15.65, and you're 14th in the 100 backstroke in 1:01.37. You know, do you think those are your two best events right now?
I would say yes. I'm shooting to get to state in those two events as well.
Well, do you feel like, you know, you can be a place winner at state and perhaps even get up on the podium?
Maybe. That's my goal, at least.
All right. Well, we talked earlier with Coach about the great seniors that you lost from last year's team. You guys obviously needed some other leaders to step up this year. Who would you say are the vocal leaders of the team?
I would say Maddie Carlton is a really good leader and always tries to, like, pump each other up and, you know, like, tries to fill those spots that we lost. And Katie Brown is also one to help the team as well. And, you know, Anya Peck is good, because we need that. As a good freshman. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all just working together to fill those spots and do our best.
Well, this has obviously been a year unlike any other because of COVID-19. The pandemic has had an effect on every team in some way. You know, have you guys tried to keep things as normal as possible, you know, through all the distractions?
Yes. We do this thing called Secret Sister. So we have been keeping that going, and we have our sister thing, and we get gifts for them, and we get gifts for them at home meets. And we have been trying to keep everything the same as much as we can, and even if we have to social distance and wear masks.
All right. Well, we discussed the team rankings there earlier with Coach Stout, and we were even talking off air how there might be a little bit of discrepancy there between the top two teams. But anyway, Dowling and Waukee in some order are probably the top two teams right now. Do you feel like they're going to be the teams to beat at state?
Yes, they are very good teams, and I swim with people on club in those teams, and they are really good, and we'll have to do our best to keep up with them and maybe even try to beat them.
Well, I know you still got a couple of years left in high school, but you know, as far as your plans go, do you want to swim in college?
I do want to swim in college. I don't know where, but I do.
Now, did you compete in any other sports when you were younger?
I did swimming since I was 8, and then I do tennis outside of swimming, and I have done soccer and basketball, but I didn't keep going with those.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
So what did you like about swimming right away?
It's the atmosphere and having, like, you can hear the crowd when you're swimming, and like the crowd going wild, and you can see your teammates at the end of the pool cheering for you and cheering for you to go faster.
All right. Well, I understand that you do some training at Nick Jarosh Fitness, who is the sponsor of girls and boys swimming content on Ankeny Fanatic. So what led you to Nick's facility, and what kind of workouts do you do there?
Some swimmers on the team have been working with Nick Jarosh, and so we went to him, and he's been helping me a lot, and he researches swimming and studies what muscles we use, so then we can try to make those muscles stronger that are probably going to be tight and used more often, so they can build those up and they won't be as sore.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, Rachel, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. My final guest tonight is one of our newest advertisers at Ankeny Fanatic. I mentioned him a moment ago. He is the sponsor of both swimming and volleyball content on our website. He is the owner of Nick Jarosh Fitness, and coincidentally, his name is Nick Jarosh. Nick, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Awesome.
Well, we had Coach Stout and Rachel Rollo in here earlier, and I know Rachel trains at your facility. Yep. Is she a fun athlete to work with?
Oh, she's a great athlete. She was one of my first clients that I ever got. So I've been training her for, about 2 years now, and she brings it. She's fun, she's energetic, and she's got some very interesting taste in music. So we let each athlete pick their music when they come in if it's an individualized approach. So
what is she like?
She may give me a little bit of heartache on this, but she's a Meghan Trainor fan.
Oh, okay.
So we rock the Meghan Trainor. It works. And Hamilton. We go with Hamilton.
All right. That's some good stuff.
There's some unique music, but it works for her.
Well, I know you work with all levels of athletes. My friend Chris Doubleday has been a client of yours in the past, and nobody would confuse Chris with a world-class athlete. So you'll pretty much work with anybody, won't you?
Yeah. No one would confuse him with a world-class athlete. That's right. He'll have to tell you the story of his first time in class. So he didn't fare too hot.
Yeah, I've heard some stories. So now, how long have you been in business? When did you guys open the facility there?
So I've actually been training and coaching this is my 12th year. I started pretty small, just small little venues. Got a gig at the Air National Guard, trained those men and women down there for 8 years, which was an amazing experience, helping them pass their PT test, that sort of thing. Kind of bounced around here and there and just built up a clientele. I've been in Ankeny my whole life, so been a part of sports. I played sports here. My brother played football and baseball and track here as well. So I grew up in this community, and so I thought, you know what, no better opportunity to start a fitness program in this town. The facility itself has been, we're going on 2 years. So, but doing it for 12, but this facility itself has been there for two.
We kind of touched on this with the community comment there, but you know, what inspired you to get into this business? Is it just a passion for a healthy lifestyle?
Yeah. I mean, when I was really young, 15, 16 years old, I started working out, trying to make the football team. And I found that there was a huge connection. I mean, I'm 35. I mean, I'm not that old, but, mm-hmm. There was a huge connection between obviously the work you put outside versus, seeing the results on the field. And so, I connected with one of my childhood friends, Andy Brodell, who I know you've had on the podcast before, and another good friend of ours, Jamie Cole, who is the coach, I believe, at Centennial, right?
Right.
Football coach. And so this was when I was 16 years old, and we just worked out together. I mean, we grinded it out, and I remember, we got on the football field as a sophomore and started playing and saw the correlation between the hard work that you put in and the rewards that it reaps. And for me, it was pretty easy. Then I made that passion and connection. I kept it through college. I kept it, all the way through. Then I started training a lot of adults, but I always had that passion for helping athletes. We've grown up in a family full of athletes. My brother was a phenomenal athlete, mm-hmm. That came through the Ankeny ranks and played in collegiate baseball. And so for me, it's always been a connection, always been a passion of mine. And I love working with the kids. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love working with the adults, but the kids everyone can tell when we're in there, they're just like, you just love this a little bit more, it's a little bit more your jam.
Yeah, I'm sure they keep you young, don't they?
Oh, today they were talking, I don't know what they were talking about, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember the old pool, the Ankeny pool. And I remember mm-hmm. where the Ankeny old pool was, and they're like, there was a pool there? And I'm like, yep, I remember that. And that's when it made me realize, oh no, I'm starting to get to that point.
Well, I know you also told me off air that you have a passion for recovery. So you obviously feel like, that's one of the most important things that people have to do, in order to avoid injuries is to do that recovery.
Yeah, one of my things that I talk to a lot of our athletes about, I mean, obviously, we get parents that come in, they want their kid faster, they want their kid stronger, they want their kid more agile. But the biggest thing, the biggest piece that either doesn't often get talked a lot about or just kind of gets swept under the rug is that recovery component. Talking to kids about their nutrition in kind of a generic way, but knowing that they can't eat just chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese and, perform at a high level, hydration, sleeping. I read somewhere that a lot of the U.S. Olympic women's soccer team, they'll wear heart rate monitors to bed. And when they wake up and they come into the weight room, it's all based on, you know, how they slept that night is the way they train. So if they didn't sleep very well, they're not going to train as hard. And so they really take that, obviously they're, you know, top level organization. Mm-hmm. They take that to a whole nother level. I mean, but we can only control the hour that we have in the gym with the kids, but we really try to tell them, you know, make sure you're drinking your water. Like, drinking your water, we tell it all the time. I'm sure, I know the coaches tell them all the time, make sure you're getting your sleep, because that's so important. I know it's hard because they're in so many activities and doing so many things, but and then, you know, that nutritional component. So those are big for the athletes, and they're in so much already, you know, doing mobility work, doing stretching work. Those are the big things we focus on.
Now, how has the pandemic affected your business? Because it seems like the fitness places have been some of the hardest hit businesses, right?
Yeah, and as far as you know, when we first got hit, obviously we had to shut down. But you know, what's funny is the adult side of things, we've seen a little bit of regression, but the kids thing, I mean, it has just exploded. We've had some phenomenal athletes in our facility that have just done a great job of spreading the word of mouth. And that's really just been taking off. I can't say enough to the parents that are part of our facility, you know, to spread the great word about what we're doing. The kids, I mean, you know, we get 2-3 new kids every time somebody comes in and they're like, hey, bring my buddy, bring my friend, and they want to come in and work out. So, I mean, honestly, it's kind of taken a 180 towards that athletic performance side. Mm-hmm. It's been awesome.
Well, what do you think is unique about your facility? What do you do that other places don't?
I don't know if it's necessarily anything we do or don't. I've been in this community for my entire life. So I've built a lot of great connections and talked to a lot of great people. And I know a lot of people. I mean, we moved here when I was 4. So, you know, we try to make those connections with the people in the community, coaches, that sort of thing. But really, I think it's just, you know, I treat the kids the way they want to be treated. You know, we go into the strength, we go in the conditioning, we go in the speed side, but in reality, I mean, they want to have fun, especially the young kids. They want to have fun. They want to enjoy it. And we sneak in the ways to get them faster, you know, mm-hmm. But for them, they're thinking, oh man, this is just fun. You know? So I think that's the big thing is we want to make it fun. And then the higher level athletes, the biggest thing is, you know, they're seeing results. I mean, we got people, jumping higher, I know you had McKenna Scheib in here, and she's been an athlete of ours. Mm-hmm. I always say Breck's last name. He's going to kill me. Stucker Jurgen.
Oh, yeah.
Get that right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Breck. Shout out to him and Finn. So, you know, and a lot more. I mean, those are just a couple names that come off the top of our head that we've been able to train. But they come in and they work hard, and they see the results, and they want to share those results with their friends. And they enjoy themselves.
Well, I'm sure you're always looking for new clients. You know, if somebody's interested in starting a program with you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
You can do that through Facebook. We have a Facebook page that we do. Email nickcharash@gmail.com. You know, however, either one of those is usually the best way. I usually get back to them within, if I can, a couple hours. I mean, we're running classes all the time. We're really getting into more of the group setting type of thing, but we still do individualized stuff. So we have 3 lifting programs that we do, and then we have a kind of a youth. That's one of the big ones is like under 10, under 12 group that we do. So main focus is on body weight stuff and, you know, basic speed drills and things like that. But, yeah.
Well, I'm sure you can't, you know, like teach every class over there. So do you have like your own staff too?
You know, I do. I mean, pretty much.
It's just
Well, we have a couple people that do an amazing job. Shelly Northway helps out. So she helps out with a lot of the adult stuff because we still run adult boot camps as well. So we run those. I mean, I was talking to my wife the other day. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to need to help, get some other help in here because, you know, I'm there from 4:30 a.m. till 7 p.m. most nights and grinding. But, you know, I'm sure as you know and people out there know, when you love something, it's not a job. You
right.
know, you get home, you're exhausted, but it's really something that you're passionate about and you love to do.
Well, Nick, I imagine you're a big sports fan being in the fitness business. Yeah. You know, and right now we have a lot of different sports we can watch between football, basketball, baseball, and hockey. I had the Nuggets Clippers game on the TV last night, and my wife yells down to me, you know, are you watching a basketball game? She couldn't believe there was a basketball game on in September. Uh-huh. You know, I don't blame her. But anyway, which of those sports are you enjoying watching right now, or do you just not have time to watch?
Well, I'm going to enjoy watching Big Ten football. I'm going to get a lot of slack for this, but everybody knows in my facility, I'm a big Michigan State fan. Uh-huh. I know Iowa State. I know that, you know, there's big fans out there of that. So I'm going to get ready to watch some of the Michigan State football. You know, I used to actually work in professional baseball, so I follow some of those teams that do that. But my sport is college basketball. I love college basketball, so I'm excited to
I do too to
jump into that. I was so sad when March Madness was canceled. I thought we had a good team this year. And I love, I mean, no matter what team you like, March Madness is always one of the best times of year to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Those sort of things. You know, kind of sad that we didn't see the iCubs. We like to go down to iCubs games every now and then. So that was kind of a bummer. But, yeah, definitely the football, definitely the Big Ten. Yeah.
Yeah, you bring up March Madness. Me and a few buddies had made plans to go down to Atlanta for the Final Four last year. We were so bummed, and we had to cancel that trip. And, you know, now we've put our names in again to try to get tickets for next year because they are taking applications, but I don't know whether they're going to have any kind of crowds at that point, you know,
sure,
in March or April. But we can hope, but if not, hopefully we can at least watch on TV.
Yeah, having it in Des Moines last year was – or what, was it last year? Yeah, it was last year. Or was it
– year before.
Year before,
yeah.
Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah. I really enjoyed that, obviously, because my team was in it. But
yeah.
They put on a great show there, and I don't know if you've been to a tournament. I mean, it's so much fun.
Yeah, I've been to – both times they've had in Des Moines I've gone, and, yeah, I've been to the Final Four a number of times. So, yeah, I just love March Madness. That's probably my favorite time of the year.
It is.
So.
Mine, too.
Well, hey, Nick, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it. Enjoyed the conversation, and I'll probably be talking to you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight, Ankeny Girls Swimming Coach Michelle Stout and one of her top swimmers, Rachel Rollo, as well as Nick Girosh from Nick Girosh Fitness. Enjoyed the conversation with all three of them. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.